Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Here we are now with me being accused of steroids and cheating the game of baseball. If I'm guilty of anything, it is of being too trusting of everyone, wanting to see the best in everyone, being too nice to everyone. If I'm considered to be ignorant of that, then so be it.
Roger Clemens, nice guy. And yes, even baseball can be a political football. As part of the New York Times coverage of yesterday's Roger Clemens perjury indictment, did you see this? The paper noted that Republican members of the congressional committee originally sided with Roger during the initial hearings, I think that was 2006, and the Democrats seemed to side with his accuser, Brian McNamee. Eventually, however, both sides came together to indict Clemens, the seven-time Cy Young Award-winning pitcher who has now been officially charged by a federal grand jury for allegedly lying to Congress in his testimony about steroid use. His previous work supporting Republican candidates and causes seems to have muddied the waters for a time, but the case for him lying to Congress seems to be unifying red and blue today. And while that is more bad news for Clemens, it's also another in a series of blows to baseball fans everywhere who are grappling with how to relate to the sport they love. And here to help us through another collective moment of sports grief and to give us some context on the case are Michael O'Keefe, a reporter for the New York Daily News sports investigative team and one of the authors of the book American Icon, The Fall of Roger Clemens and the Rise of Steroids in America's Pastime, and William Roden, the New York Times sports writer, columnist, and author of $40 Million Slaves, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete. Michael, Bill, welcome back to WNYC. How you doing?
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good. Yeah, you guys are sports writers, not lawyers, but Michael, are you surprised at all that this came to an actual indictment? All the guy did was proclaim his innocence. And even people who are convicted of crimes in criminal court don't get charged with perjury for pleading not guilty.
Well, no, I'm not surprised at all because, Clemens made these denials, but the committee in its investigation, in the investigation that led up to the hearing in February of 2008, they had done quite a bit of research, and I think there was a lot of evidence that they gathered along the way that bolstered Brian McNamee's contention that he had given Clemens performance-enhancing drugs. And, you know, it seems to me if a guy is going to deny, and yet there's a lot of evidence that suggests that he's lying, he didn't really give Congress or the Justice Department a whole lot of wiggle room. You know, if they believe that you're committing a crime blatantly on television in front of millions of people, you don't really give them a whole lot of choice. They've got to do something about it.
So members of Congress said you can't establish a precedent that someone can lie under oath to a congressional hearing, even about their own personal guilt. But listeners, is this worth the taxpayers' money, in your opinion? Do you support the indictment of Roger Clemens on charges of perjury, lying to Congress, on simply the fact that he himself did not take steroids? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Bill Roden, what's your top-of-mind thought on this story today?
I guess to answer your first question, I suppose had the Republicans still been in office, I would have been a little surprised because they were trying, as you mentioned in the intro, they were doing everything they could to sort of make this partisan and steer this away from an indictment. But
right, although the Times article, which I presume you saw in the paper today, mm-hmm. said that even the Republicans, Congressman Davis was cited by name, wound up walking away from that position because they thought it was too clear.
Yeah, they had to. Like I said, if the Republicans were still in office. But I think that as Michael said, the evidence was so overwhelming. And once again, the kiss of death is appearing on television in front of that committee and making these Palmero-esque statements that I did not do this under no circumstances.
Referring to Rafael Palmero, former ball player who, made that pronouncement and then got caught.
Right, exactly. And it's sort of waving the you know, the red, the cape in front of the bull. And I also I'm thinking, too, I know I'd written a lot about some of these high-profile busts, Marion Jones, Michael Vick. That wasn't steroids, but it's just these high-profile takes of prosecutors. And coincidentally, there were all these high-profile black athletes, just one after the other after the other. And you can't have a guy like Clemens, who, with overwhelming evidence against him, suddenly take a walk. So to that extent, I really wasn't surprised.
Mm-hmm. And, Michael, it's interesting to see how Clemens is being handled by the media here in New York, compared maybe to some of the other athletes who've fallen from grace that Bill just mentioned, or compared to Andy Pettit, who was in that same hearing, who admitted to steroid use, apologized, and seems to have successfully moved on. He gets cheered at Yankee Stadium these days, obviously, when he's not on the injured list. And I wonder how Roger Clemens would be received. What do you think?
Well, you know, Pettit didn't appear at the hearing. He did. He was deposed by the committee, and he did tell them. You know, he acknowledged that he had used human growth hormone, and he said that Brian McNamee's account in the Mitchell report was accurate
about supplying steroids to both him and Clemens. Correct.
Well, in Pettit's case, it was just HGH. It wasn't steroids.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think if Clemens would have done, Clemens could have taken any number of tacks here. He could have said nothing. He could have said Brian McNamee is a liar, and that's all I'm going to say. You know, he could have, he kind of rolled the ball. I mean, in our book, American Icon, we describe him as like a figure in a Greek tragedy, in that the very qualities that made him a great player, his tenacity, his stubbornness, his unwillingness to surrender, they served him very well on in a baseball diamond. But in a court of public opinion, in a court of law, and in front of Congress, they didn't serve him very well. I mean, one of the things that I think we need to remember here is that we reported this in our book and in a story today as well. Tom Davis and Henry Waxman, the representatives who were leading that hearing, told Clemens the very day, minutes before that hearing began, you don't have to go through with this. You can bail out. We'll fold up this big circus tent and we'll all go home. He insisted on going through with this. So,
and I remember the coverage at the time and watching Clemens at the time. He certainly looked like a man who believed his own story, didn't you think?
Right.
Michael?
I think there were times when he was very convincing, and I said, well, maybe the guy's got a point. But during that hearing, he was a mess. I mean, he was licking his lips. He looked very nervous.
Uh-huh.
And then you can contrast him with McNamee, who was a cool cucumber throughout the whole thing. If you remember when Chris Shays, the representative from Connecticut, the Republican from Connecticut, was calling him a drug dealer and really trying to get his goat. And Dan Burton from Indiana was going after him. And McNamee almost had this look like, you know, take your best shot because you can't hurt me anymore.
Michael in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
How are you? Good. What do you think?
I wanted to say that I do think it's worth the time for Congress. And it's unfortunately, I think, kind of a clunky way to enforce this. I mean, Congress does grant to baseball a antitrust exemption. And if baseball is not going to clear up their own mess here, I think it falls upon Congress to take the necessary steps to walk through and ask baseball players these questions. And, you know, it's sort of very unfortunate that it falls on the shoulders of someone like Roger Clemens, who has such an outstanding career. But I think they have to set a standard with this kind of inquiry. And, you know, the power of the subpoena is the way to go about
doing it. Michael, thank you very much. Rafi in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hey, Rafi.
How you doing? Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that, you know, we have much more important things to, you know, do in Congress, and they're busy over here. Meanwhile, they're, you know, they lie to us all the time.
Congress can lie to us. We just can't lie to them.
Exactly.
That's pretty good.
Hypocrisy continues.
That's the next show. Jack in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
As a pediatrician, I'm less concerned about the legal precedent. I don't expect everything that comes out of Congress or in hearings to be forthright. But I think there's a lot to be said for bringing attention to the issue of abuse of medications, steroids, growth hormone, and whatnot, to highlight the issue for younger athletes. I'm not concerned about professional athletes who might make an informed choice. I'll disagree with it. But the issue, the pressure that it puts upon younger athletes, middle schoolers, high schoolers, and even college athletes, I think it's important. I think this is a way not just to say to Roger Clemens that you need to tell the truth, but to publicize the issue of medication abuse nationally in a forum.
As a pediatrician, I appreciate your call. Alex in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You're a defense attorney.
Yeah, my name is Alex. I'm a defense attorney. Brian, how you doing?
Good.
I'm concerned because Roger Clemens, if he lied before Congress, okay, he should be penalized for that. But I recall a time back when seven chief executives of major smoking companies went before Congress, swore on their oath to tell the truth, and they all lied, claiming smoking has nothing to do with being deleterious to your health. None of those guys were indicted.
Good point. So, Alex, you're the lawyer here. Why the double standard?
I think there's a double standard. I think it's very obvious there's a double standard because people in the smoking industry and at that level have an enormous amount of influence in Congress, and people are afraid to go after them.
Or maybe they can't prove in court that smoking caused. I don't remember exactly how they put it, but that maybe they can't prove the health effects in court in as simple a way as proving whether somebody did something.
Yeah, I mean, there may have been a stronger case against Roger Clemens, but when seven executives of major smoking companies insist that smoking has nothing to do with harmful effects on your health, I think there's overwhelming evidence that could have proved the otherwise.
Alex,
and those guys should have been indicted.
Thank you for your call. We're talking to sports writers William Roden from the New York Times and Michael O'Keefe from the Daily News about the indictment on perjury charges of Roger Clemens for allegedly falsely claiming to Congress that he did not use steroids. Bill, you and I have talked before on the show about Barry Bonds and steroids and how you felt he was singled out as an especially bad guy when it was really about an era in baseball and that maybe race had something to do with that. Is there a way that you compare Roger Clemens as the villain du jour to Barry Bonds, whose trial, his own trial, is going to come up in not too many months?
Yeah, in March. Yeah, that's actually a great point. In some ways, I think that this is sort of the other shoe dropping and it's sort of the bookend to the end of this chapter. I know Bud Selig wants to frame it like this. This is the end. You know, we've got the other culprit. You know, we've got the power hitter, and now we've got the pitcher. So let's just put it to bed. These were sort of the last little crumbs of the steroid era. So this is kind of it. And in some ways, I guess this is a very pat. This is a pat ending. And you know, you had mentioned Brian earlier before about Pettit and Roger, and yeah, so I'm troubled by that too. I'm troubled by how we as sports writers do pick our targets. And he's a good guy, and you know he's really great with the media. You know, Roger is not a sympathetic figure. You know, he really is. Number one, he came in from Boston, so that puts him on the wrong side of the law. No matter what he does, is wrong.
So did Babe Ruth.
Yeah, I think that Roger was just such a, as Michael said, this guy was just such a fierce guy, fierce competitor, and a kind of typical superstar athletic figure. When you put these guys in courts of law, forget who the football coach was, a former football coach in Georgia, when you put these guys on the stand, and all of a sudden they've got to answer questions and people are coming at them, they unravel.
Yeah. Not about throwing a ball. And Michael, your book, The Fall of Roger Clemens and the Rise of Steroids as America's Pastime, traces the steroids era with Clemens really as the central figure already. Do you think his reticence to come clean on his own steroid use is going to make him into the poster child for the era?
There's a lot of candidates, certainly. I think I would prefer to put Mark McGwire up there just because of the 98 season and how bad that really looks now
who
in
finally
hindsight,
admitted but, something just recently, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's ready. You know, he's admitted it, but he's played the game that Andy Pettit has played. You know, he tells just enough truth to keep himself out of trouble and to look like he's an upfront guy. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of candidates for that, and I think Clemens is certainly at the top of the list, but I'd also put Bonds and McGuire and Sosa, and there's probably a couple of other guys you could put up there as well. Yeah, I just think one question that we haven't really raised here that I'd like to throw out there is that the process, you know, people say, is it worth taxpayer money to go after Roger Clemens for lying to Congress? I think maybe the better question was it appropriate for the Justice Department to require Brian McNamee to talk to Senator Mitchell when he was putting together his report on baseball and steroids?
The alleged supplier. Why?
You know, Mitchell was a private citizen at that time, and yet by requiring him to, by requiring McNamee to speak to him, that really kind of got this ball rolling. If McNamee had not been required to talk to Mitchell and his investigators, this information about Clemens would have never made it to the report, and we would never have had this hearing. And so I'm more concerned about that, the sort of quasi-governmental inquiry by what is essentially a private industry, Major League Baseball.
Interesting. Bill, how do you see baseball fans dealing with their love for the game, but the belief that the whole era of the last 15 years, I guess, is tainted through McGuire and Bonds and Clemens and the rest, and may still be tainted because there's no test for human growth hormone. So how do you see, in your experience as a sports writer, how do you see baseball fans dealing with ongoing suspicions that some of these players may be juiced, but, of course, their love for the game?
Yeah, well, you know, Brian, that's another great question. And let me start from the top and work myself back. I think both these guys, Clemens and Bob, I think they both should go in the Hall of Fame. Precisely because this was just sort of an era, just like with the Willie Mays, or Hank Aaron, that era, everybody was using amphetamines. I think in every single era of competitive athletics, and let's say baseball in this case, people were doing whatever they could to get a break, to get an edge. Whatever they were using, whether it was legal, illegal, in every single generation, players were using anything they could to get ahead. It just wasn't one guy, two guys. It's a culture. So to that extent, I see this as a river. And you just let the river flow. It's a river that flowed from the 19th century to the 21st century. Let it flow. No asterisks. No penalties. I think that, you know, when we're going to let the law follow its course, if somebody like Clemens goes in front of Congress and they lie, you punish them. But in terms of singling out people and trying to say, well, this was just an error and it's tainted, no. The whole game is what it was. People have always been trying to get an edge. I think talent still trumps performance enhancement. You gotta have greatness in you. So that's sort of where I stand. I think we should stop the hand wringing, you know, punish those who broke the law. But meanwhile, let's get rid of this idea about let's put asterisks there and let's just call this an error. You know, let the river flow.
Michael, are you on the same page?
I understand Bill's argument. I think it's a little more complex, though. I mean, the one thing is that, you know, Roger Clemens pitched until he was 45 or something like that. And would he have been able to compete at high levels after the age of 38, 39 if he hadn't been using performance-enhancing drugs? And I think that's the same is true for Bonds and for other players as well. And there's an unfairness here in that they're stealing jobs from other guys. You know, maybe there's a guy who decided to go into banking or farming or selling cars because he couldn't move up in the system because Roger Clemens had that roster spot. So there's an inherent unfairness here.
Go ahead, Bill.
With all due respect, I mean, Clemens and Bonds, these guys, this is a whole nother, the guy they chase into the banking business needs to be in the banking business.
But a lot of mediocre players use steroids too.
But the fact is a lot of these guys, and I would argue maybe Clemens and maybe Bonds, would have retired 5 years earlier than they did. Steroids gave players, they extended contracts. Roger Clemens made a lot of money off the Yankees. You know, he made he was making $25 million a year in the last couple of years of his career.
Just one quick question on sort of the medical athletics of it. Mike, maybe you know. We generally think of steroids as a home run hitter's thing. Clemens was a pitcher. What does a pitcher get from steroids?
Well, you know, drugs, there are different drugs for different needs. Sometimes, and the way you use the drugs and what you do in terms of workouts, they all affect how the impact and the effect of the drugs. Sometimes they make you bigger and stronger. Sometimes they help you recover from injuries quicker. Sometimes, as I was saying earlier, they help old guys extend their careers by a couple of more years. So it really depends on what you're doing and how you use them and what combinations you use.
And Bill, last question, 20 seconds. This has been the year of the pitcher in baseball in 2010. Is that evidence that fewer hitters are juicing?
The short answer is yes. And I think it was, to be honest with you, Brian, I think there was a big power struggle within the players' union led by pitchers to drive this, because I think the pitchers felt that the hitters were getting too big of an advantage, and I think that it was the pitchers that pushed for this drug testing, because I just think they felt it was too big of an advantage. And what we're seeing now, you're right, is evidence that the pendulum has swung the other way.
Interesting. William Roden, New York Times sports writer, columnist, author of $40 Million Slaves, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete, and Michael O'Keefe, Daily News sports investigative reporter and one of the authors of American Icon, The Fall of Roger Clemens and the Rise of Steroids in America's Pastime. Thanks very much to both of you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
Brian Mara, WNYC. More in a minute.